Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a guest with us. We are privileged this morning, and I mean that. We're privileged this morning to have a guest with us named Larry Bach. And he is a professor and has been for 30 years at North Central University. Now, those of you who are a little older, that would be North Central Bible College, okay, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he has been on staff there for 30 years. He doesn't look like it. He was actually a professor there back when I was a student. Yeah, and you know, I know that he doesn't look that old, but I look even younger. And he is a great fella, just even outside the classroom, outside a chapel. He has done so many things, not just for the university, because this is the real thing. He has done so much for so many people, young adults who are now in the ministry. And he deals with the music department and worship and the chorale and so many other things. And he may not tell you all that he does, but I want you to know that this is an exceptional man, him and his wife. And we are privileged today, and I want you to welcome Larry Bach.
Thanks, man. I will. Larry, stay here. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much. So what year did you graduate? 82 to 86. Well, I came in 1981. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. First off, Pastor, you are styling today, man. And I just have to say that. And here's the thing, you know, up at school, one of the things about colleges, we have these academic convocations and graduations. Someone was just there, your family. Congrats. And the faculty all wear these robes. And now go figure, but the music department faculty, their sleeves are pink. And some, you know, and I remember when I first put that robe on, someone came up to me and said, music department, you got pink on. I said, look, I am man enough to wear pink. And I just want to say, Pastor, you are man enough to wear pink. Your pastor is one of my favorite men in the whole world. I just love you, Randy. Come on. Oh, man. Man, I got to give me one of those for graduation next year. That's all there is to it. But you saw us standing next to each other, but stand right next to me again, because when I was much younger, I used to just bug this guy so much on the basketball court.
Not really.
I tried to bug him anyhow. But you see where I come up to him? Right to his elbows. Man, he just killed me. I'm telling you what. He was tough on me. He did not care that I was a professor. I tried to get that ball from him any way I could. But, I got a couple songs maybe to share with you, so I'll go over here. By the way, this, you know, I really don't have this slick presentation for you today because I conduct a lot, is what I do.
You only come up to my elbows. We want to see you.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah. Do you have a stool for me? But, you know, it's amazing when I'm at home and I'm worshiping. There's a couple songs that come into my mind, and this is one of them. And I was wondering about that even this morning. I mean, why this simple song? And it hit me, and I'll tell you in just a moment. It goes like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to a tree. Grace flows down and covers me. It covers me. it covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Aren't you thankful for God's grace this morning? Yeah, me too. You know, it's interesting because I came to North Central 1981. I was 26 years old. I mean, really, what were they thinking? A lot of what they didn't know was that I had only become a Christian 5 years earlier, at the age of 21, on a campus that wasn't Christian. But through a college outreach, some folks on my floor became born again Christians. That was a big word back in 1970s. And they decided, hey, let's find the guy least likely to become a Christian and see if we can just share Christ with him. And they picked me. And I grew up in a little suburb outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had never thought about going to college. It's a miracle that I got there. I hustled pool. I did all kind of crazy things. I won a couple $1,000 one night, and I just said, you know, why don't I try college? So I did. That's how I got there. Otherwise, there was no way I was going to college. I do not expect you to go out and try to do that, by the way. But yeah, they loved me into the kingdom, and you know, I mean, I just look at my whole life as, wow. I have just been blessed by the grace of God. I'm always drawn to this song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Because they were successful. Amazing love, now flowing down. From hands and feet that were nailed to a tree. Grace flows down and covers me, and you too. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I'm so glad they picked me to love me into the kingdom. You know, these songs, I don't think I've ever done in church like this before. But I was just in my house this week playing the piano and singing, and these are the songs that came to my head. And I realized why, because they had a lot to do with my own story. So this is a way for you to get to know me a little bit today. Some of this song's so old, for a lot of you young people it'll be new. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, yeah. Well, I just want to praise you. Well, I just want to praise you. And I love, yes, I love you, Lord. I just want to love you. I just want to love you, Lord. I just love how this morning we just had a great time in the presence of the Lord, just loving Him. Because that's really what church is all about. In a moment, I'm going to share a little bit more about that. But I like this part. Well, there were 10 men in the Bible days. They had been sick for so very long. But one day Jesus Jesus, he passed away. And when he spoke, their disease was healed that day. But they all went on their merry, merry way. And only one returned and said, well, I've got something, something to say. He said, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. And I praise you, Lord. Yes, I will. I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. And I'll love you, Lord. Think about it. I just want to love you. I just want to love, love you, Lord. Don't you just want to love on the Lord today? He is so good. Well, you know, isn't it great that those healing powers of Jesus just weren't for back then, but they're still true today? You know, I just loved coming to North Central. I wasn't sure in the early years whether I loved teaching or if I just liked going to the gym and playing basketball with the guys. It was kind of a toss-up. But, you know, I just loved being there. And things just went along and just had lots of wonderful successes and met lots of wonderful people. But about 17 years ago, playing in a basketball tournament, I noticed this huge lump on my leg. Like, what is going on? So I go to the doctor, and he says, well, you know, it's no big deal because men of your age get those kind of things on their legs. Thanks a lot, Doc. And, you know, really, did you know I just played 11 hours of basketball yesterday in a tournament? Anyhow, they said, well, I really don't like it. Can you take it out? Oh, yeah, I guess we can. So they do the normal biopsy, take it out, do a biopsy. He calls me back and says, you got to come in and see an oncologist. Honestly, as a college professor, I still didn't know what the word oncologist meant. What in the world are you talking about? So I go in, and I realize it's a doctor of cancer, and I just find out that I have, like, one of the rarest cancers that there is. I have lung cancer in my leg. I've told people, you know, I can't get anything right. Anyhow, so like six cases or less, you know, very few cases at all in our country. And I have so many stories I could share about that. But just to say this, that just like in the Bible, Jesus came to me and touched me in a beautiful way. And I just knew that the Lord had healed me. And I'm really glad that I just got to keep going. And here 17 years later, here I am to tell you about it. That God's a healing God. And I bet you know, in this congregation, there's a bunch of stories, great stories. Right? Is God a healing God? You can give him praise for that if you want to clap your hands this morning. So just like that guy, I think we've all got something to say. You can sing with me. Thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. And I love Amen and amen. He is good. Wow. Tell you, my sons are both really impressed with me that I have an iPad. Just want you to know that. It's my attempt at staying with us, keeping up with them. Yeah, my wife, Geraldine, we just celebrated our 32nd anniversary just this past week. Wonderful stuff. I have two boys, 24 and 22. My 22-year-old is about to graduate from North Central this December in music performance. Pretty excited. He wants to bring light to a world that doesn't have a lot of light. He wants to get on Broadway. I'm just going to brag on him for just a moment. He got his first professional contract to be in a musical at the Ordway this fall. So I'm pretty excited about that for him. He's going to just share Jesus with some people who don't know a lot about Jesus. That world is shaky at best. Let's just leave it at that, okay? But lots of fun things. And so today, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 16. Lord, thanks for this opportunity to share with this incredible church, these wonderful people. Just bless this message, I pray, in your name. Amen. All right. Well, I feel like, you know, we've just really had church today already. But if you don't mind, I guess I'll share a few things. Is that all right? All right. Acts chapter 16, it's literally one of my favorite stories in the Bible. The story starts at verse 16. Paul and Silas in prison is kind of the heading. Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 16, and I'll just make a little synopsis here, but what's happened is Paul and Silas, they're ministering in Philippi, and what happens is they come across this woman, and she's possessed by a demon, and they're calling out, and basically they just set her free. They pray, and demon comes out of her, and they're set free. The thing is that this demon was enabling this woman to tell the future, and she was a slave woman, and she was making money for owners. So the owners were not too happy about this blessed event. They weren't too happy at all, and so they called the magistrates, and they had these guys beaten and thrown into prison. You know, now nowadays, like if you do something like that, you might get on Christian radio or be written up in a Christian magazine. Back then, you got to be thrown into prison. What a deal! Outstanding. But here, so now I have an iPad. It's just, could I work it? That's like really the big deal. I just skip chapters. But I want to get to verse 25. Because they're beaten, thrown into prison. In Acts 16, verse 25, it's just, you know, everybody has some life verses, like things you just keep coming back to. This is one of mine. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. About midnight, we could stay here all day and talk about our midnight hours. Because if you are alive today, you've had a midnight hour. But here's the thing. I mean, there might have been a lot of things that were going on. Silas might have looked at Paul and said, thanks a lot for taking me on this trip. Really thankful. Now I'm beaten. We're going to die. There could have. It's just not in the Bible, but who knows? Nobody knows what went on, you know? But verse 25 says, we do know this was going on. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. About midnight. Now, we all have had some midnight hours. What do we do with our midnight hours? This verse has always challenged me. They were praying and singing hymns to God. So the question I have is why? Like when I had cancer, I found out, you have a very rare cancer, Mr. Bach, and you know, maybe you have a 50, maybe 30% chance of living. If the cancer spreads in the next year, you have zero chance of living. No one's ever survived it. I think I almost passed out while he told me that. I can't remember, but I think I might have. And I would like to say that, you know, I got the news, my wife and I got the news, and immediately we went in the lobby and started praying and singing hymns to God and rejoicing. Thank you, Lord, for this rare cancer. I'm so happy. But, you know, I have to admit, for a few days, I whined a bit. Sorry, Randy. I mean, I know you think a lot of me, but I did a little whining. Really, Lord? I mean, I get 5-year-old, 3-year-old. I mean, seriously? I mean, you know, and I'm in good health. I'm an athlete. How can this be happening to me? But you know what? I got there. I got there in an MRI machine when they were taking the test to see if I was going to have this cancer spread through my body. I didn't know if it did or not, but I felt like God spoke to me and said, hey, do you believe those things you teach those students, or is that just for them and it doesn't apply to you? Do you believe I'm God in every situation, or don't you? And so I just, okay, all right, God. I remember going back to Geraldine, that's my wife's name, and Jer, I don't know if I'm going to live or die. I don't know what the tests are, but I think God spoke to me and everything's going to be just okay. And from that moment on, quit whining, quit complaining. That was just a couple days after finding out. And it was a great adventure. On our anniversary, just a couple days ago, we were sitting at a restaurant. And she said, hey, what are the three best things we can remember about being married these last 32 years? And we both agreed that the top of the list was the year that I lived with the cancer, not knowing whether it was going to return. You had 1 year kind of thing, and I had to go get tested every month. Did it spread or didn't it? Did it spread or didn't it? We just didn't know if I was going to live or die. And we look back and think that was like one of the greatest years of our life. You know, and so how did they get there? You know, well, I think Paul, well, obviously Paul taught, you know, he was a very learned man. He knew the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament stories. He knew the Ten Commandments. The first one being, love the Lord your God. And Jesus said it when he was asked, what's the most important commandment? In Mark 12, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm telling you, Paul knew something about loving the Lord and being obedient. I think that's where it really starts, that obedience factor. I'm just going to go to one passage that Paul wrote. Go to Romans chapter 8. I mean, I know that a lot of you know these scriptures here, but this just pumps me up when I just look at it and read it. I just read it the other day again. Just maybe starting near the end, and starting with Romans 8:28, and I'll just read a few of the scriptures there. And we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And then going on down to 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. How he will not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who is raised to life at the right hand of God is also interceding for us. Here it is. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or beating or being thrown in prison? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on. I mean, that is powerful, isn't it? I mean, Paul knew something about loving God. I don't know anyone who's written anything better than that about loving God in all of our experience, just to be obedient. I mean, that's really what the heart of the worshiper is all about, is just that sense of being obedient. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, this is another really familiar passage of Scripture in Romans 12. He starts out, Paul says, he knows this, therefore I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Pastor Randy, I loved how you did the offering as part of worship. And I wish all churches would get that. Offering ourselves, it's part of worship. I remember back in the early 80s, I'm glad we don't do this anymore, but you can probably remember this, Pastor, that on Mondays, the North Central took an offering. And it just said, well, we have chapel every day and give part of your tithe to North Central, and that kind of helped pay the bills as part of tuition, and then we'd give offerings, and I'm glad we don't do that anymore. Just give to your church or your where you go to church or your home church, but we did that, and I remember distinctly, I mean, this is a long time ago, I can still remember a couple guys outside my office door, one guy saying, hey, I just don't believe in tithing. I mean, I'm not into that. And the other guy, I mean, now this is North Central Bible College, and the other guy got really riled up. Are you kidding? And he's starting to quote scriptures about tithing. I mean, you know where you're going to go. I mean, you better stop that. You better stop talking about it like that. You know, you're at North Central now. And the other guy said, nah, I'm not in for that 10%. I'm only in for New Testament tithing. I'm going to give 100%. Gotcha. Got this guy all riled up. Got him all just all worked up, you know, and then he just in your face. I'm only 100%. But I think Paul understood that. I mean, why could they sing under those circumstances? Why could they give praise to the Lord in facing death possibly the next day? Because he had already offered himself up completely. He says, do it, offer yourselves up daily. And I think about it, an Old Testament story. You can go all the way back to Genesis. I'm sure that Paul knew this story. There's no doubt the news. I believe it's in chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. A lot of you could tell this story. You've heard it from early Sunday school years. It's about Abraham and Isaac. How many have heard the story of Abraham and Isaac? Right? We know the story of Abraham and Isaac. God says to Abraham, this is all about offering, right? And obedience. Abraham, offer your son, your only son. Now, that's how the chapter starts, by the way. You know, sacrifice him there in verse 2 as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Verse 3, early the next morning. I mean, I love the Bible. I love reading the Bible. But don't you ever like to stop and just think what happens between the verses? Offer your son, offer your only son, go to the mount, sacrifice him there. That's verse 2. Verse 3, early the next morning. Do you ever wonder what Abraham did in the night? But it doesn't really matter because he did it. He just was obedient. Maybe he questioned, maybe he didn't, but he was obedient, okay? So we know this story, and we know that Abraham was obedient and willing to offer his son. And we know the end of the story too, right? We know that God honored that obedience and that offering, and he gave another offering and set his son free. But I just want to say that I always think it's the super coolest thing in the world when young people sit in the first couple rows of church. I just want to say that without question. But and if you're not sitting there, that doesn't mean you're not cool. But here's the thing. I want to talk about Isaac, too, because there's so many young people. And I want to talk about offering. And offering is not like for something when you get old or if you become an apostle or a college professor. It's like for all of us, you know. But did any of you guys or gals run track? Does anybody like run to any young people? I mean, like a high school student or junior high. Did you? You track? Track? You're a track? Track girl? Yeah, come on up here. I need your help. Oh, I hope you don't have heels on. Okay, perfect. You're pretty fast, right? I'm sure. What's your name? Mandy. Mandy runs track, right? She's a young girl. How old are you? 16. You know, a lot of Bible scholars think Isaac might have been around 16. Now, what do we know? But we know that Isaac was young, right? What do we know about Abraham? He's old, like me. Actually, maybe older, quite old, right? And Isaac, so here's what we're going to do, Mandy. You probably weren't ready for this, but we're going to race to the back doors in here. Now, don't let an old man beat you. Come on. I'm serious. Are you ready? You get that aisle. You get that out right there. All right. Yeah, oh, she's serious now. Yeah. Are you ready? Like, I'm in pretty good shape for an old man, right, Pastor? I mean, tell me that, would you, please? Okay, ready? Are you Mark? Set, go. You got to go. Come on. I'm going to beat you if you don't run faster. Oh, you got to run back. No, I mean, like, she just blew me away. She was at the door before I got halfway to the aisle. Thank you so much. You're good. I mean, yeah. Like, any of these guys, whether they're ran track or not, doesn't matter. They would all just blow this old man away, right? So you think about it. They get up to the mountain, right? They get on the mountaintop. And I know now that it said, the Bible does say Abraham has the knife and Isaac has the wood. But he puts Isaac on the altar. Makes someone puts Isaac on the altar. I'm just trying to think about putting my young son on the altar. Saying, my son Alan, who's very wiry, very fast. He's 10 times faster than I am. Okay, Alan, God told me that, because you remember all the way up the mountain, Isaac saying, you know, like, we've got the wood, we've got this, but where's the sacrifice, Dad? Where's the sacrifice? Are we there yet? Where's the sacrifice? He's playing 20 questions. Okay, well, we're there, Isaac, and hey, man, you're the sacrifice. Let's get you up there. Now, before I could get the knife, or, you know, he ties, my son would have been down that hill so fast. I am just telling you. He said, my dad is crazy. My dad is crazy. You know, I mean, but again, we don't know what happened between the verses, but I just wanted to make that point that Abraham was obedient, but even as a young person, somehow Isaac learned to trust not only the voice of his earthly father, but he learned to trust his heavenly father. And you don't have to wait till you're 20 or 30 or 50 or 70 to begin trusting the voice of the Lord. But when you're 10 and 12 and 6 and 8 and 15, man, you guys can really do something awesome for God. And you can be used of the Lord just like anyone else. And don't let anyone tell you anything differently. And God wants to do something through you and in your lives. And I believe Isaac was that kind of kid. And so the Bible tells us that he got up on that altar. And that's a great story that Paul understood about offering ourselves up daily. And it's just a beautiful precursor to the maybe the greatest story that's ever told, when another father led his son up a hill carrying the wood. Only this time the wood was in the form of a cross. And that son got nailed to that wood. And there was no other sacrifice this time. But the greatest offering that's ever been given to all of humankind happened that day when Jesus shed his blood on the cross and died for our sins, that we could be made whole and that we could have everlasting life. And that's the kind of offering that Paul understood. That's why he was already dead to this world. He could sing and still give praise to the Lord. And then he says in Romans, he goes on to say, look, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. He understood something about being transformed. You know what I think about church folks? I don't just kind of close it up with this, just a little bit of, we are here to practice being in the presence of the King. That's why we come to church. We come to church to practice. See, as I've already mentioned, I love sports. Has any sports team that any of you have ever heard of or have ever been a part of ever won any kind of championship by having no practice? Let's no practice. Let's just go play. I just don't know anybody. You know, I play a lot of individual sports like golf and tennis and things like that. And if I don't practice, my already shaky game gets much, much worse. You just have to practice to get any good. You know, and I guess maybe as a music major in college, I understood I had to go to these practice rooms, that's what they were called, and practice my scales till I could play them and practice my songs so I could go stand in front of someone and get judged. And practice, I mean, it's a big deal, right? There is no better place to practice being in the presence of the Lord than right here to get ready for the midnight hours that undoubtedly are going to come in our lives. That's all there is to it. We practice right now. Did you have a hard time giving your praise to the Lord today? Did you have a hard time clapping your hands? Did you have a hard time saying hallelujah? You shouldn't have. This is a safe place. This is the place. This is God's house. He is here. He was here this morning. He's here as we come and gathered in his name and sang his praises. But let's face it, there are times when things happen on our jobs, at our schools, in our neighborhoods, when it's not always that easy. Things happen. And even when good things happen, it's not like you're at work and something great happened and you just went around and went, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I mean, I get to do that at my job because it's North Central University. I can do that. But a lot of you probably can. But, you know, I also need to, when things aren't going my way and things are, and I'm facing difficult situations, I need to go back to my practice session because this is what I learned from Acts chapter 16, verse 25, about midnight. In my midnight hours, I believe God wants us to have that same spirit. Just like we're on the mountaintop, in the valleys, he wants us to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I'm trusting you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. Not my way, but your way, because your ways are higher than my ways. Not my will, but your will. Help me to conform. Help me to know what you're teaching me. Help me to see. Help me to have spiritual eyes. Help me to be the kind of person you want me to be. I just want you to know this morning that I really don't know much about any of you in this congregation, but I know Jesus knows everything. He knows all about you. He knows what you're going through right now, today. Some of you could be right now facing a midnight hour. It might be through your health, through a circumstance, through a relationship. I don't know what it is, but I know this, that Jesus is right here, right now, today, to meet your needs. He is right here in any midnight hour. And some of you, you know, it's easy when you don't have midnight hours for a while. I mean, literally, I felt like I went years without a true midnight hour. Just, oh, everything's great. You know, no real problems, blah, blah, blah. That you sometimes take the presence of the Lord for granted. And can I just encourage you, don't take your worship times, your opportunities to shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, to sing his praises, to clap your hands, all the things that the Bible says to do, don't take them for granted, but do them heartily, do them with all of your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. Can I just challenge you with that? Don't get complacent about your worship. These are times to come in and worship. You know, and when the worship team's leading, I'm just going to say this for all of us worship leaders in the world. I don't know that song. I don't like that kind of music. Who cares? I'll tell you one thing. If you're going through a really true midnight hour and God, let's say you had found out you had this rare cancer and you were healed, I guarantee you, you walked in, you wouldn't care what the music was, you wouldn't care what the song was, you wouldn't care who the leader was, you could care less about that. You would be jumping up and down praising Jesus. You see what I mean? So, I mean, I just hate that our church, the Church of Jesus Christ, gets all wrapped up in stuff that isn't important. I could care less whether I know the song. I don't need to know the song. I just need to know that Jesus is here. I mean, who cares? Let it go, you know? I don't care if it's old, young, new, loud, soft. Just have a heart to love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's all. That's not in the sermon. I just threw that in at the end. Felt compelled. And you know, it was so easy to say it here because it's obvious that you guys don't have a problem. So, but you could go share that with somebody else who does. Okay? So, hey, let's pray, okay? You know, I never looked at a clock. I don't know how late it is. I'm sorry if I went a lot longer than you usually do, but Pastor Randy said it was okay. So that's all it is. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time that we've had together in your presence today. And Lord, I really do want to say thank you. I want to thank you for the rest of the story because it's just amazing, Lord, that as we go through our midnight hours, if we just respond the way you want us to, if we have been in your presence enough that we can just sing and pray, other people around us will be listening. We can be an incredible blessing in our midnight hours to our friends who don't know you. And Lord, I just thank you that just like in this story where you sent an earthquake and opened the prison doors, and Paul and Silas used that to even as another evangelistic opportunity, the jailer and all his family came to know him. Just like you set Paul and Silas free, Lord, right now I believe this morning you want to set some people free. And so, you know, as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and, you know, you're just going through something right now today, and you'd just like me to pray for you. Could you slip up your hand? I'm going through a bit of a midnight hour. I'm going through some decisions I have to make. It's a relationship. I need some healing. I need the Lord to touch me. I need Jehovah Jireh, my provider, today. I mean, it doesn't really matter what it is, but you can just slip up your hand for a moment. Lord, I just pray for every person who slipped up their hand this morning. I just want to say, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are Jehovah Rophe, our healer. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And Lord, whatever the situations were, as the hands went up all across this congregation this morning, I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. That you are faithful to speak into their lives even now as they reach out to you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that just as you set Paul and Silas free, you will begin to set them free, Lord. They will sense this earthquake and eruption of your Spirit working in their lives right now. They will see something happening, Lord, and they will just be full of joy and full of faith knowing that you are there. I thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks for letting me share with you today. It's just been an awesome privilege to be with you. May the Lord bless you.
Great job. Hey, Larry. It's good to see you can still catch. Listen, this was not planned. Normally, I'd just dismiss you and let you go, but I really want us to be a part of something. And this was not planned to take a second offering this morning. So if you're an usher, I'm going to need your help. We're going to take a second offering. And maybe you didn't come prepared to do that. I want you to know that's okay, because I think that the number and the goal here is to give $5,000. I'll just tell you that right up front. Is not going to this church. There is an endowment that is being set up, is already on its way, specifically for students who are in the music training. I'll just use that word, at North Central University. Now, I want you to catch something. I know that immediately you think, well, they're paying for their education. I want you to catch this. Where do you think music pastors, worship leaders come from? Now listen, I'll just tell you this. We are blessed and spoiled at this church. We have lay people here in this church who lead worship. And we are blessed with skill and talent here. I want you to know that we can take that for granted. Not that it's, because we grow used to it. That is not the case in most churches. I will tell you, that is not the case. Where do you think their staff comes from? You think we just popped up out of nowhere? I had to go to school. I had to be trained in the classroom, and I had to be trained in the dorms. And what I mean by that is by the Spirit of the Lord in our personal life outside the classroom. There's some things that had to be, you know, taken out of me and things that put in me. And I'll tell you this, a place like North Central, the Spirit of the Lord moves outside of chapel. Well, in chapel too, but you know. And you know what? We got a taste. He's up here. You wouldn't guess he's a professor. Because professors, you know, they look like this and they're old and they just stand there and read from a book and wow you with intellect. What you got wowed with this morning was not intellect, but the Spirit of God that is active and still growing in this man. Now listen to this. Those who are in the classroom don't get just the textbook. They get that. That trains them to be able to do what he does. He's got a while yet to do what he's doing. But what happens after he's gone? Well, they just get somebody else to replace him. Granted, God will always take care of taking people to the next level because he cares for his people. And they're not going to look to replace the same. But why should someone new come in and have to fight all the way up the hill when they could have the opportunity to build from when Larry hands it off to him? Okay? Let's say sometime down the road, a new pastor comes to this church. Now, don't get nervous about this. Just relax. Get the point. A new pastor comes. Why should he have to start over when he should just build from where God has brought us? See what I'm saying? Leaving something behind. Leaving something to continue to invest. See, we can't get the understanding that church is, well, I just care about right now. We're supposed to be able to hand something off to somebody, right? In all of our life. These students are in training. And God uses them while they're still a student and provides opportunity. That's part of what this endowment is about that's being built. We have to have this kingdom perspective that the kingdom of God is way bigger than just New Life in Sparta. Because those who are trained are going to be out in churches, and who knows, maybe even coming to this church to lead you, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, into the future as God tarries. Yeah, I mean, we have to grasp this. We have to wrap our minds around this, and even greater yet is wrap our heart around it. So I want us to take an offering this morning. This is going to go, Larry, you didn't ask me to do this. We didn't talk about doing this. I want us to give something to that endowment. And I want you to know that the number that's coming, if it should not be raised this morning, is I believe we will end up sending $5,000. That's what I'm believing for. Now, if you're here visiting and saying, oh, it was going good until the preacher talked about money. Listen, this is, if you're visiting, this, you don't have to do anything about this. This isn't for you. Now, if you want to participate in something good, that's up to you. Listen, I'm talking predominantly to this church body. I want us to keep investing in God's work and kingdom, in the training that students go through, who go and lead many. I'll just be honest with you. You know how I look at this? I look at this like missions money. When we talk about missions, oh, hey, we're all about it. You guys give your, oh, we're going to give. And we should. Well, to me, this is the same thing. It's just building the kingdom and investing. I mean, after all, I know the check will say North Central on it. Probably right. But really, I just give this to the Lord. And where it goes in his kingdom, frankly, I don't care. I don't get wrapped up in that. I'm just supposed to give to him. And he can distribute it how he sees fit. That's just how I look at it. I know some of you run on a different, you know, financial level than I do, and that's good, and it's gifted, and you're worried about what goes where and how I should give and all this kind of stuff. I just want to give it to the Lord, and he can take care of it. This isn't going to pay Larry. I'm just telling you right now. We already have a check ready for Larry. We want to bless him. This is about going to the kingdom. Let me ask you a question. Who put their arm around you somewhere? Who gave you an opportunity somewhere? Whether it's at your job or your work or maybe it was an opportunity in sports or music or somewhere in life. Who took a chance on you? Who gave you an opportunity? What interview did you go through and they said, you know what? we're going to hire you. Or we're going to open our doors. You came for employment. We're going to give you the opportunity to work here. We'll see how it goes, but we're going to give you an opportunity. Where I don't know where I would be if the Lord would not have quickened some people's hearts to say, you know what, Randy, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Or I'm going to hire you. Or I'm going to have you do this. I'm going to give you an opportunity. They invested. That opportunity is an investment in me to become the person I am. And I know I still got a long ways to go, so I still need people investing in me to become what God has. But I look at that and I think, you know, people gave me an opportunity. Somebody believed in me. Somebody gave me an opportunity, or somebody gave, or somebody paid something for me, or somebody, you know, took me in, or somebody put their arm around me, somebody spoke some word of encouragement. That's how I look at this. That's how I look at this. I want us, even though we don't know them, I want us to give somebody an opportunity. That's what I'm doing. Giving to God so he can give somebody an opportunity. Or this can be a resource for somebody who's been called by the Lord. Where I get to say, wow, thanks for letting me be a part of helping fund some training and opportunity for somebody you called so they can answer and say yes. I'm just telling you, that's how I look at this. Now you're here and you say, well, I'd like to do that, but $5,000 is a big number. Listen, I'm not asking you to write a check for $5,000. I mean, if that's what you want to do, hallelujah. It's $5, it's $1, it's $10. It's not the amount here. I don't want us to get hung up on that. It's about having the heart to say, I'm going to give somebody an opportunity to answer God's call and become a worship leader somewhere. Or a music artist somewhere. Something that's going to glorify the Lord and win people and draw people. That's really what it is. Some of them will not go on into full-time ministry. They're going to have a job, and then they're going to be in a church somewhere, and then they're going to be an Audra or a Felicia or a Dana or a Josh or a Ross or a somebody. Where they're going to go to a church that they can't afford to hire a music pastor, but boy, if they had a great layperson to lead who was trained, who had opportunity. That's what this is about. So if you're going to write a check, you just write New Life Assembly of God. If you didn't come prepared, like, I'll just be honest with you, my checkbook is in my vehicle. So you know what I did? I'll just tell you what I did. I wrote, it's coming from me, and I wrote the amount that I'm giving, and I wrote a note that said, the check will be written tomorrow. And when I say tomorrow, I mean tomorrow, Monday, okay? Because I didn't run out to my vehicle. I didn't send my kids out because I don't trust them with the keys. I'm kidding. That's what I wrote on here. Now, I don't want, I'll write this check 2 months from now. I don't want that. Or say, I'm going to have this check ready for next Sunday. Okay, I'm just telling you, that's what I've done. I know that's risky, but that's God's business. I don't worry about this stuff. I just know that I'm writing a check tomorrow for this amount. In fact, there's a chance I might write it after church and just leave it in the office, Marlene. So I'm going to need you to do up a check and probably count this offering so we can send Larry off with a check for North Central for this endowment. You have to instruct me on how to have this check made out. So you know what? This is an opportunity for us to be a part of something bigger than New Life. I always like that. I do. I just always like that. We do missions offerings and things. I'm just so grateful that we have an opportunity to give and do something beyond us. So that's how we're going to handle this. Larry, thanks for coming. Hope this is okay we're doing this. So here you go. Start writing your check, or if it's cash, you put it in the envelope, whatever you want to do. Or you're saying, you know what, I didn't come prepared, but I'm going to have this check ready for $25 next week. Whatever it is. Okay? I'm not telling you what to give. I'm just saying, here's an opportunity for you to be a part of what God's doing. I'm so grateful for our schools, not just North Central, all of our AG schools. Ushers, why don't you come? Let's bow our heads together. Let's pray. Jesus, you instructed that we should pray to you, the Lord of the harvest, to raise up laborers, to go into the harvest field. Well, Lord, we pray that you'd raise up laborers, you'd call people to be trained at North Central, to be worship leaders, Christian artists, this whole facet of ministry and music. But Lord, it'd be a hypocrite of me to pray that and then not back it up with some action of faith. And so we give today in accordance of backing up our prayers. So take these funds. We give them to you. But bless it by training those you've called to be effective, fruitful in churches, on the mission field, wherever, because the whole earth is yours. We just want to be a part. So we thank you for investing in us through people, and now we in turn want to give like it's been given to us, or somebody gave us an opportunity. We want this to be that, Lord, for them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, take this empty envelope with a commitment on it. Oh, this was a good morning. Wasn't it? The Lord's good. He's good. And Larry, thanks for taking time out to include us. And we enjoyed you, that's for sure. And the Lord in you. And thanks for not just preaching. By the way, though you're in the music department, that was a really good message. You know, I know you probably don't sit in the homiletics classes, you know, but you don't need to. And sense the touch of God on you, that's for sure. But thanks for singing and telling part of your testimony. It's been a good morning. I'll tell you what, I know you're still giving to the Lord, but why don't you stand up? And why don't you smile at me? See how what that did for you? I'm glad you're here. And I don't take for granted that you're here, because you don't have to be here. And I want to tell you that I'm glad that you are. I'm grateful. It's a humbling thing to pastor a church and people still come. I mean it. You don't have to be here. You didn't buy a ticket for this. It's not like, I paid the money, I might as well go. I mean it. And so, you know, I want God to bless you in your coming and going. And you're rising up and you're sitting down. I want him to really reveal himself in your life, but especially in the midnight hour. In the midnight hour. The dark hour. And I want you to know it could be 12 noon and bright and sunny and clear, but it can still be a midnight hour. But here's the good news. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, or the Lord of rest. And you don't have to wait for Sunday or Saturday. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He knows how to bring rest to us when we are continually worn out. Doesn't matter how much we sleep, because we carry a burden. He knows how to lift the burden of the midnight hour. He's the Lord of rest, Lord of the Sabbath. So walk out of here with hope, with joy, and keep taking time for people. Friends, God bless you. Have a great day. And we have a baby dedication. And I want to tell you something before this couple comes. They're a great couple. They're involved in so many ways in this church, some in public ministry, but they do so much behind the scenes. And I'm just so grateful for them, for their heart for the Lord. But they've had one boy. His name is Cole. Cole's my little buddy who comes in and sees me most Sundays. Cole, hey, buddy. Atta boy. And he talks to me about all kinds of things. Let's see. Our last conversation, I think, had to do with him having a grasshopper at home and kept him in a jar. And then he said, like this, he did it. He said, the pastor, he's only got one leg. We all know how that happened, right? Oops, you know. But he says to me in my office, he says, but he can still hop. And so, Cole's my buddy. Well, his parents, Josh and Felicia, they've been praying for some time, and they've been wanting another child. And it's taken a little bit of time. And so I'm going to read a scripture this morning when they come that has been very close to Felicia's heart and Josh's heart. And it's something that Hannah prayed for. And if you know the story in 1 Samuel, you'll be acquainted with how she was praying and asking the Lord for a child. And if he would give her a child, she would turn around and give him back to the Lord. And you know that Samuel became a great man of God and really stepped in with a fresh anointing, empowerment from God for God's people, and was used mightily by the Lord in a variety of ways, as a priest, as a prophet. And so God has blessed them and answered their prayer in a wonderful little package named Lucas Wayne Abbott. And so, Josh and Felicia, would you come and bring Lucas with you? Is Cole going to come too? Come on, big brother. Yes. Cole, thanks for bringing your parents up here. What's happening, buddy? Atta boy. And this is Lucas. Lucas, how are you? Josh, would you do me a favor? Would you show your son off up this aisle over here? Kind of turn him around. You know, are you okay with this? Yeah? Go walk up here a little bit so they can see him. Yeah. No, bud, go ahead. This is great. Yeah. Yeah. Did the family bring a camera? Audra, you have a camera? Oh, here, we're going to get a good one. Give them to me. Here, now we'll have a good picture. Yeah, here we are. There. Now that's a good picture. Isn't he something? Yeah, Grandma, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You young families, young couples, you just keep having them. We like children around here. And you look great, buddy. Yeah. I want to read the scripture to you. And it's from 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. And it says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And that's not just Hannah's prayer, but that's Josh and Felicia's prayer for their sons, and specifically today for Lucas. And I want you to know that I appreciate his name because it means bringer of light. Lucas means bringer of light. And so as they dedicate themselves and their son to the Lord today, I'm going to pray that God would fulfill his name in his life and be a bringer of light, whether it's a call to full-time ministry or whether he's involved in full-time ministry like his parents are, who have other jobs but give of themselves to bring light to so many. So why don't you do this? Why don't you take him? And I'm going to ask you a question, Josh and Felicia. In the presence of the Lord, in the company of these witnesses, do you make a promise today in God's presence and with God's help to lead Lucas to live life according to biblical principles. And with God's help, will you lead him by prayer and by the way that you live to know the Lord as his personal Savior and salvation? Then let's do this as a congregation. Whether you're visiting this morning or whether you're here all the time, I want you to extend your hand towards this family. We're going to pray for them, and I'm going to ask that the grandparents would slip out from where you are, and you would come and just stand behind your children and grandchildren as we pray together this morning. Extending your hand is just a way of saying, you know what, I'm going to be involved in this prayer because I'm in God's family and we are all playing a part in raising children, encouraging parents. And this is a dedication of Lucas by the faith of their parents. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you that children are an inheritance of the Lord, as your word says. And Lord, that you hear prayers in our private place, in our hearts. That you've heard Josh and Felicia's prayer for a child. And today they stand here by the confession of their own lips to raise Lucas, to be a bringer of light, to know you, to live according to your principles. Empower them as parents by your Holy Spirit to do this task with love, with grace, with mercy, with patience. And that you would rest your spirit and your hand upon Lucas. That you would give him health in his body and his soul and his spirit all the days of his life. And that he would be a bringer of light in your name. That your spirit would fill his life and be upon him. So today, by the profession of his parents, I commit Lucas to you. He's an answer of prayer. Now use him for your glory. Oh, Father, we all pray together in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Felicia. Cole, you can take that. There's baby's first Bible inside, a certificate of dedication. And we want to give you this flower, too, Felicia. God bless you so much. I'm proud of you, buddy. See you, Cole. All right, buddy.
I get up. on my, oh, when I'm on my, when I'm on my knees.
And Casey, thanks for coming. Well, we'll still call this home for you. She's home from Costa Rica. God bless you, Casey. Raise your hand again. We want to tell you, good to see you here. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a guest with us. We are privileged this morning, and I mean that. We're privileged this morning to have a guest with us named Larry Bach. And he is a professor and has been for 30 years at North Central University. Now, those of you who are a little older, that would be North Central Bible College, okay, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he has been on staff there for 30 years. He doesn't look like it. He was actually a professor there back when I was a student. Yeah. And, you know, I know that he doesn't look that old, but I look even younger. And he is a great fella, just even outside the classroom, outside of chapel. He has done so many things, not just for the university, because this is the real thing. He has done so much for so many people, young adults who are now in the ministry. And he deals with the music department and worship and the chorale and so many other things. And he may not tell you all that he does. But I want you to know that this is an exceptional man, him and his wife. And we are privileged today. And I want you to welcome Larry Bach.
Thanks, man. I will. Larry, stay here. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much. So what year did you graduate?
I went there in 82 to 86.
Well, I came in 1981.
Too.
Yeah, whatever. First of all, Pastor, you are styling today, man. And I just have to say that. And here's the thing, you know, up at school, one of the things about college is we have these academic convocations and graduations. Someone was just there, your family. Congrats. And the faculty all wear these robes. And Now, go figure, but the music department faculty, their sleeves are pink. And some, you know, and I remember when I first put that robe on, someone came up to me and said, music department, you got pink on. I said, look, I am man enough to wear pink. And I just want to say, Pastor, you are man enough to wear pink. Your pastor is one of my favorite men in the whole world. I just love you, Randy. Come on. Oh, man. Man, I got to give me one of those for graduation next year. That's all there is to it. But you saw us standing next to each other. But stand right next to me again, because when I was much younger, I used to just bug this guy so much on the basketball court.
Not really.
I tried to bug him anyhow. But you see where I come up to him? Right to his elbows. Man, he just killed me. I'm telling you what. He was tough on me. He did not care that I was a professor. I tried to get that ball from him any way I could. But, I got a couple songs maybe to share with you, so I'll go over here. By the way, this, you know, I really don't have this slick presentation for you today, because I conduct a lot, is what I do.
You only come up to my elbows. We want to see you.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah. Do you have a stool for me? But, you know, it's amazing when I'm at home and I'm worshiping. There's a couple songs that come into my mind, and this is one of them. And I was wondering about that even this morning. I mean, why this simple song? And And it hit me, and I'll tell you in just a moment. It goes like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to a tree. Grace flows down and covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Covers me, yeah. Aren't you thankful for God's grace this morning? Yeah, me too. You know, it's interesting because I came to North Central 1981. I was 26 years old. I mean, really, what were they thinking? A lot of what they didn't know was that I had only become a Christian 5 years earlier, at the age of 21 on a campus that wasn't Christian. But through a college outreach, some folks on my floor became born-again Christians. That was a big word back in 1970s. And they decided, hey, let's find the guy least likely to become a Christian and see if we can just share Christ with him. And they picked me. And I grew up in a little suburb outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had never thought about going to college. It's a miracle that I got there. I hustled pool. I did all kind of crazy things. I won a couple $1,000 one night, and I just said, you know, why don't I try college? So I did. That's how I got there. Otherwise, there is no way I was going to college. I do not expect you to go out and try to do that, by the way. But yeah, they loved me into the kingdom. And, you know, I mean, I just look at my whole life as, wow, I have just been blessed by the grace of God. I'm always drawn to this song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Because they were successful. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to a tree. Grace flows down and covers me. And you too. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I'm so glad they picked me to love me into the kingdom. You know, these songs, I don't think I've ever done in church like this before. But I was just in my house this week playing the piano and singing, and these are the songs that came to my head. And I realized why, because they had a lot to do with my own story. So this is a way for you to get to know me a little bit today. Some of this song's so old, for a lot of you young people it'll be new. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you and praise you, Lord. Yeah. Well, I just want to praise you. Well, I just want to praise you. And I love you, Lord. I just want to love you. I just want to love you, Lord. I just love how this morning we just had a great time in the presence of the Lord, just loving Him. Because that's really what church is all about. In a moment, I'm going to share a little bit more about that. But I like this part. Well, there were 10 men in the Bible days. They had been sick for so very long. But one day Jesus, He passed away. And when He spoke, their disease was healed that day. But they all went on their merry, merry way. And only one returned and said, well, I've got something, something to say. He said, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. And I praise you, Lord. Yes, I will. I just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. And I'll love you, Lord. Think about it. I just want to love you. I just want to love you, Lord. Don't you just want to love on the Lord today? He is so good. Well, you know, isn't it great that those healing powers of Jesus just weren't for back then, but they're still true today? You know, I just loved coming to North Central. I wasn't sure in the early years whether I loved teaching or if I just liked going to the gym and playing basketball with the guys. It was kind of a toss-up. But, you know, I just loved being there. And things just went along and just had lots of wonderful successes and met lots of wonderful people. But about 17 years ago, playing in a basketball tournament, I noticed this huge lump on my leg. Like, what is going on? So I go to the doctor, and he says, well, you know, it's no big deal because men of your age get those kind of things on their legs. Thanks a lot, doc. And, you know, really, did you know I just played 11 hours of basketball yesterday in a tournament? Anyhow, they said, well, I really don't like it. Can you take it out? Oh, yeah, I guess we can. So they do the normal biopsy, take it out, do a biopsy. He calls me back and says, you got to come in and see an oncologist. Honestly, as a college professor, I still didn't know what the word oncologist meant. What in the world are you talking about? So I go in and I realize it's a doctor of cancer, and I just find out that I have like one of the rarest cancers that there is. I have lung cancer in my leg. I've told people, you know, I can't get anything right. Anyhow, so like 6 cases or less, you know, very few cases at all in our country. And I have so many stories I could share about that. But just to say this, that just like in the Bible, Jesus came to me and touched me in a beautiful way. And I just knew that the Lord had healed me. And I'm really glad that I just got to keep going. And here 17 years later, here I am to tell you about it. That God's a healing God. And I bet you know, in this congregation, there's a bunch of stories, great stories. Right? Is God a healing God? You can give Him praise for that if you want to clap your hands this morning. So just like that guy, I think we've all got something to say. You can sing with me. Thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Praise you. Praise you, Lord.
just want to praise you. I just want to praise you. And I love you. I love you, Lord. Yes, I will. I just want to love you. I just want to love you, Lord. Amen?
Amen. God is good. Amen and amen. He is good. Wow. Tell you, my sons are both really impressed with me that I have an iPad. Just want you to know that. It's my attempt at staying with us, keeping up with them. Yeah, my wife, Geraldine, we just celebrated our 32nd anniversary just this past week. Wonderful stuff. I have two boys, 24 and 22. My 22-year-old is about to graduate from North Central this December in music performance. Pretty excited. He wants to bring light to a world that doesn't have a lot of light. He wants to get on Broadway. I'm just going to brag on him for just a moment. He got his first professional contract to be in a musical at the Ordway this fall. So I'm pretty excited about that for him. He's going to just share Jesus with some people who don't know a lot about Jesus. That world is shaky at best. Let's just leave it at that. Okay? Lots of fun things. So today, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 16. Lord, thanks for this opportunity to share with this incredible church, these wonderful people. Just bless this message, I pray, in your name. Amen. All right. Well, I feel like, you know, we've just really had church today already. But if you don't mind, I guess I'll share a few things. Is that all right? All right. Acts chapter 16, it's literally one of my favorite stories in the Bible. The story starts at verse 16. Paul and Silas in prison is kind of the heading. Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 16, and I'll just make a little synopsis here, but what's happened is Paul and Silas, they're ministering in Philippi, and what happens is they come across this woman, and she's possessed by a demon, and they're calling out, and basically they just set her free. They pray, and demon comes out of her, and they're set free. The thing is that this demon was enabling this woman to tell the future, and she was a slave woman, and she was making money for owners. So the owners were not too happy about this blessed event. They weren't too happy at all, and so they called the magistrates, and they had these guys beaten and thrown into prison. You know, now nowadays, like if you do something like that, you might get on Christian radio or be written up in a Christian magazine. Back then, you got to be thrown into prison. What a deal! Outstanding. But here, so now I have an iPad. It's just, could I work it? That's like really that's the big deal. I just skip chapters. But I want to get to verse 25. Because they're beaten, thrown into prison. In Acts 16, verse 25, it's just, you know, everybody has some life verses, like things you just keep coming back to. This is one of mine. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. About midnight, we could stay here all day and talk about our midnight hours. Because if you are alive today, you've had a midnight hour. But here's the thing. I mean, there might have been a lot of things that were going on. Silas might have looked at Paul and said, thanks a lot for taking me on this trip. Really thankful. Now I'm beaten. We're going to die. There could have, it's just not in the Bible, but who knows? Nobody knows what went on, you know? But verse 25 says, we do know this was going on. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God about midnight. Now, we all have had some midnight hours. What do we do with our midnight hours? This verse has always challenged me. They were praying and singing hymns to God. So the question I have is why? Like when I had cancer, I found out, you have a very rare cancer, Mr. Bach, and you know, maybe you have a 50, maybe 30% chance of living. If the cancer spreads in the next year, you have zero chance of living. No one's ever survived it. I think I almost passed out while he told me that. I can't remember, but I think I might have. And I would like to say that, you know, I got the news, my wife and I got the news, and immediately we went in the lobby and started praying and singing hymns to God and rejoicing. Thank you, Lord, for this rare cancer. I'm so happy. But, you know, I have to admit, for a few days, I whined a bit. Sorry, Randy. I mean, I know you think a lot of me, but I did a little whining. Really, Lord? I mean, I get 5-year-old, 3-year-old. I mean, seriously? I mean, you know, and I'm in good health. I'm an athlete. How can this be happening to me? But you know what? I got there. I got there in an MRI machine when they were taking the test to see if I was going to have this cancer spread through my body. I didn't know if it did or not, but I felt like God spoke to me and said, hey, do you believe those things you teach those students, or is that just for them and it doesn't apply to you? Do you believe I'm God in every situation, or don't you? And so I just, okay, all right, God. I remember going back to Geraldine, that's my wife's name, and Jer, I don't know if I'm going to live or die. I don't know what the tests are, but I think God spoke to me, and everything's going to be just okay. And from that moment on, quit whining, quit complaining. That was just a couple days after finding out. And it was a great adventure. On our anniversary, just a couple days ago, we were sitting at a restaurant, and she said, hey, what are the three best things we can remember about being married these last 32 years? And we both agreed that the top of the list was the year that I lived with the cancer, not knowing whether it was going to return. You had 1 year kind of thing, and I had to go get tested every month. Did it spread or didn't it? Did it spread or didn't it? We just didn't know if I was going to live or die. And we look back and think that was like one of the greatest years of our life. You know. And so how did they get there? You know, well, I think Paul... Well, obviously, Paul taught, you know, he was a very learned man. He knew the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament stories. He knew the Ten Commandments. The first one being, love the Lord your God. And Jesus said it when he was asked, what's the most important commandment? In Mark 12, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm telling you, Paul knew something about loving the Lord and being obedient. I think that's where it really starts, that obedience factor. I'm just going to go to one passage that Paul wrote. Go to Romans chapter 8. I mean, I know that a lot of you know these scriptures here, but this just pumps me up when I just look at it and read it. I just read it the other day again. Just maybe starting near the end, and starting with Romans 8:28, and I'll just read a few of the scriptures there. And we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And then going on down to 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. How he will not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who is raised to life at the right hand of God is also interceding for us. Here it is. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or beating or being thrown in prison? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on. I mean, that is powerful, isn't it? I mean, Paul knew something about loving God, I don't know anyone who's written anything better than that about loving God in all of our experience, just to be obedient. I mean, that's really what the heart of the worshiper is all about, is just that sense of being obedient. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, this is another really familiar passage of Scripture in Romans 12. He starts out, Paul says, he knows this, "Therefore I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Pastor Randy, I loved how you did the offering as part of worship. And I wish all churches would get that. Offering ourselves, it's part of worship. I remember back in the early 80s, I'm glad we don't do this anymore, but you can probably remember this, Pastor, that on Mondays, the North Central took an offering. It just said, well, we have chapel every day and give part of your tithe to North Central, and that kind of helped pay the bills as part of tuition, and then we'd give offerings. And I'm glad we don't do that anymore. Just give to your church or your where you go to church or your home church. But we did that, and I remember distinctly, I mean, this is a long time ago, I can still remember a couple guys outside my office door, one guy saying, "Hey, I just don't believe in tithing. I mean, I'm not into that." And the other guy, I mean, now this is North Central Bible College, and the other guy got really riled up. "Are you kidding?" And he's starting to quote scriptures about tithing. I mean, you know where you're going to go. I mean, you better stop that. You better stop talking about it like that. You know, you're at North Central now. And the other guy said, "Nah, I'm not in for that 10%. I'm only in for New Testament tithing. I'm going to give 100%. Gotcha. Got this guy all riled up. Got him all worked up, you know, and then he just, in your face, "I'm only 100%. But I think Paul understood that. I mean, why could they sing under those circumstances? Why could they give praise to the Lord in facing death possibly the next day? Because he had already offered himself up completely. He says, "Do it. Offer yourselves up daily." And I think about it, an Old Testament story. You can go all the way back to Genesis. I'm sure that Paul knew this story. There's no doubt that he knew this. I believe it's in chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. A lot of you could tell this story. You've heard it from early Sunday school years. It's about Abraham and Isaac. How many have heard the story of Abraham and Isaac? Right? We know the story of Abraham and Isaac. God says to Abraham, this is all about offering, right? And obedience. "Abraham, offer your son, your only son." Now, this is that's how the chapter starts, by the way. You know, sacrifice him there in verse 2 as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Verse 3, early the next morning. I mean, I love the Bible. I love reading the Bible. But don't you ever like to stop and just think what happens between the verses? Offer your son, offer your only son, go to the mount, sacrifice him there. That's verse 2. Verse 3, early the next morning. Do you ever wonder what Abraham did in the night? But it doesn't really matter because he did it. He just was obedient. Maybe he questioned, maybe he didn't, but he was obedient, okay? So we know this story, and we know that Abraham was obedient and willing to offer his son. And we know the end of the story too, right? We know that God honored that obedience and that offering, and he gave another offering and set his son free. But I mean, I just want to say that I always think it's the super coolest thing in the world when young people sit in the first couple rows of church. I just want to say that without question. But and if you're not sitting there, that doesn't mean you're not cool. But here's the thing. I want to talk about Isaac, too, because there's so many young people. And I want to talk about offering. And offering is not like for something when you get old or if you become an apostle or a college professor. It's like for all of us, you know. But did any of you guys or gals run track? Does anybody like run to any young people? I mean, like a high school student or junior high. Did you? You track? Track? You're a track? Track girl? Yeah, come on up here. I need your help. Oh, I hope you don't have heels on. Okay, perfect. You're pretty fast, right? I'm sure. What now? What's your name? Mandy. Mandy runs track, right? She's a young girl. How old are you? 16. You know, a lot of Bible scholars think Isaac might have been around 16. Now, what do we know? But we know that Isaac was young, right? What do we know about Abraham? He's old, like me. Actually, maybe older. Quite old, right? And Isaac, so here's what we're going to do, Mandy. You probably weren't ready for this, but we're going to race to the back doors in here. Now, don't let an old man beat you. Come on. I'm serious. Are you ready? You get that aisle. You get that aisle right there. All right. Yeah, she's serious now. Yeah. Are you ready? I'm in pretty good shape for an old man, right, Pastor? I mean, tell me that, would you, please? Okay, ready? On your mark, set, go. You got to go. Come on. I'm going to beat you if you don't run faster. Oh, you got to run back. No, I mean, she just blew me away. She was at the door before I got halfway to the aisle. Thank you so much. You're good. I mean, yeah. Any of these guys, whether they're ran track or not, doesn't matter. They would all just blow this old man away, right? So you think about it. They get up to the mountain, right? They get on the mountaintop. And I know now that it said, the Bible does say Abraham has the knife and Isaac has the wood. But he puts Isaac on the altar. Makes him puts Isaac on the altar. I'm just trying to think about putting my young son on the altar. Saying, my son Alan, who's very wiry, very fast. He's 10 times faster than I am. Okay, Alan, God told me that, because you remember all the way up the mountain, Isaac saying, we've got the wood, we've got this, but where's the sacrifice, Dad? Where's the sacrifice? Are we there yet? Where's the sacrifice? He's playing 20 questions. Okay, we're there, Isaac, and hey, man, you're the sacrifice. Let's get you up there. Now, before I could get the knife, he ties, my son would have been down that hill so fast. I am just telling you. He said, my dad is crazy. My dad is crazy. But again, we don't know what happened between the verses. But I just wanted to make that point that Abraham was obedient, but even as a young person, somehow Isaac learned to trust not only the voice of his earthly father, but he learned to trust his heavenly father. And you don't have to wait till you're 20 or 30 or 50 or 70 to begin trusting the voice of the Lord. But when you're 10 and 12 and 6 and 8 and 15, man, you guys can really do something awesome for God. And you can be used of the Lord just like anyone else. And don't let anyone tell you anything differently. And God wants to do something through you and in your lives. And I believe Isaac was that kind of kid. And so the Bible tells us that he got up on that altar. And that's a great story that Paul understood about offering ourselves up daily. It's just a beautiful precursor to the maybe the greatest story that's ever told when another father led his son up a hill carrying the wood. Only this time the wood was in the form of a cross. And that son got nailed to that wood. And there was no other sacrifice this time. But the greatest offering that's ever been given to all of humankind happened that day when Jesus shed his blood on the cross and died for our sins, that we could be made whole and that we could have everlasting life. And that's the kind of offering that Paul understood. That's why he was already dead to this world. He could sing and still give praise to the Lord. And then he says in Romans, he goes on to say, look, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. He understood something about being transformed. You know what I think about church folks? And I'll just kind of close it up with this, just a little bit of, we are here to practice being in the presence of the King. That's why we come to church. We come to church to practice. See, I, as I've already mentioned, I love sports. Has any sports team that any of you have ever heard of or have ever been a part of ever won any kind of championship by having no practice? Let's just go play. I just don't know anybody. You know, I play a lot of individual sports like golf and tennis and things like that. And if I don't practice, my already shaky game gets much, much worse. You just have to practice to get any good, you know. And I guess maybe as a music major in college, I understood I had to go to these practice rooms, that's what they were called, and practice my scales till I could play them and practice my songs so I could go stand in front of someone and get judged. And practice, I mean, it's a big deal, right? There is no better place to practice being in the presence of the Lord than right here to get ready for the midnight hours that undoubtedly are going to come in our lives. That's all there is to it. We practice right now. Did you have a hard time giving your praise to the Lord today? Did you have a hard time clapping your hands? Did you have a hard time saying hallelujah? You shouldn't have. This is a safe place. This is the place. This is God's house. He is here. He was here this morning. He's here as we come and gathered in his name and sang his praises. But let's face it, there are times when things happen on our jobs, at our schools, in our neighborhoods, when it's not always that easy. Things happen. And even when good things happen, it's not like you're at work and something great happened and you just went around and went, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I mean, I get to do that at my job because it's North Central University. I can do that. But a lot of you probably can. But, you know, I also need to, when things aren't going my way and things are, and I'm facing difficult situations, I need to go back to my practice session, because this is what I learned from Acts chapter 16, verse 25, about midnight. In my midnight hours, I believe God wants us to have that same spirit. Just like we're on the mountaintop, in the valleys, he wants us to say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trusting you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. Not my way, but your way, because your ways are higher than my ways. Not my will, but your will. Help me to conform. Help me to know what you're teaching me. Help me to see. Help me to have spiritual eyes. Help me to be the kind of person you want me to be. I just want you to know this morning that I really don't know much about any of you in this congregation, but I know Jesus knows everything. He knows all about you. He knows what you're going through right now, today. Some of you could be right now facing a midnight hour. It might be through your health, through a circumstance, through a relationship. I don't know what it is, but I know this, that Jesus is right here, right now, today, to meet your needs. He is right here in any midnight hour. And some of you, you know, it's easy when you don't have midnight hours for a while. I mean, literally, I felt like I went years without a true midnight hour. Just, oh, everything's great. You know, no real problems, blah, blah, blah. That you sometimes take the presence of the Lord for granted. And can I just encourage you, don't take your worship times, your opportunities to shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, to sing his praises, to clap your hands, all the things that the Bible says to do, don't take them for granted, but do them heartily, do them with all of your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. Can I just challenge you with that? Don't get complacent about your worship. These are times to come in and worship. You know, and when the worship team's leading, I'm just going to say this for all of us worship leaders in the world. I don't know that song. I don't like that kind of music. Who cares? I'll tell you one thing. If you're going through a really true midnight hour and God, let's say you had found out you had this rare cancer and you were healed, I guarantee you, you walked in, you wouldn't care what the music was, you wouldn't care what the song was, you wouldn't care who the leader was, you could care less about that. You would be jumping up and down praising Jesus. You see what I mean? So, I mean, I just hate that our church, the Church of Jesus Christ, gets all wrapped up in stuff that isn't important. I could care less whether I know the song. I don't need to know the song. I just need to know that Jesus is here. I mean, who cares? Let it go, you know? I don't care if it's old, young, new, loud, soft. Just have a heart to love Jesus. Let's just love Jesus. That's all. That's not in the sermon. I just threw that in at the end. Felt compelled. And you know, it was so easy to say it here because it's obvious that you guys don't have a problem. So, but you could go share that with somebody else who does. Okay? So, hey, let's pray, okay? You know, I never looked at a clock. I don't know how late it is. I'm sorry if I went a lot longer than you usually do, but Pastor Randy said it was okay. So that's all it is. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time that we've had together in your presence today. And Lord, I really do want to say thank you. I want to thank you for the rest of the story because it's just amazing, Lord, that as we go through our midnight hours, if we just respond the way you want us to, if we have been in your presence enough that we can just sing and pray, other people around us will be listening. We can be an incredible blessing in our midnight hours to our friends who don't know you. And Lord, I just thank you that just like in this story where you sent an earthquake and opened the prison doors, and Paul and Silas used that to even as another evangelistic opportunity, the jailer and all his family came to know him. Just like you set Paul and Silas free, Lord, right now I believe this morning you want to set some people free. And so, you know, as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and, you know, you're just going through something right now today, and you'd just like me to pray for you. Could you slip up your hand? I'm going through a bit of a midnight hour. I'm going through some decisions I have to make. It's a relationship. I need some healing. I need, Lord, to touch me. I need Jehovah Jireh, my provider, today. I mean, it doesn't really matter what it is, but you can just slip up your hand for a moment. Lord, I just pray for every person who slipped up their hand this morning. I just want to say, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are Jehovah Rophe, our healer. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And Lord, whatever the situations were, as the hands went up all across this congregation this morning, I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. That you are faithful to speak into their lives even now as they reach out to you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that just as you set Paul and Silas free, you will begin to set them free, Lord. They will sense this earthquake and eruption of your Spirit working in their lives right now. They will see something happening, Lord, and they will just be full of joy and full of faith knowing that you are there. I thank you for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thanks for letting me share with you today. It's just been an awesome privilege to be with you. May the Lord bless you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.